Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Man, that song that was playing was Dorinda Clark Cole. Now, you know, if I had cut that song off, there'd be a riot in the streets.
Especially when she's doing it when they're shouting.
She said, woo, it's really, really, really got that power.
No.
Yeah, I won't be cutting that song off. But now that we are back in the mix here on 100.3 FM, we sure are glad that you're here,
yes,
as usual.
Yes,
and as always, every week you guys support us. I just came across some of y'all in Walmart just today, and y'all was saying, I listen to you every week. You know what? Those comments just bless my heart when you tell me that, because that lets me know that we are being heard and we are being received,
yes,
with joy and with gladness. And it is our pleasure and our joy to be able to bring 24/7 gospel music to you 365 days of the year without fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a blessing and a humble honor to be able to do that. So thank you all for supporting the radio station. The best ways that you can support Gospel Music Omaha are to tell your friends. 100.3 FM, not AM, FM. If you don't have access to an FM radio, maybe you're new school, you don't have an FM radio, or maybe you are out of the transmission range, you can listen online anytime by going to our website at gospelmusicomaha.com. gospelmusicomaha.com. There's a big old button there that says listen now. Everything that's on FM is also on the internet at the same time.
Right.
So you won't ever miss your favorite classics and modern gospel music right here on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, a couple of housekeeping items before we jump into our conversation today. One of which is we're updating our equipment, you guys. We got some new cameras. We got a new studio set up that we're preparing, and by next week we should have that done. Now, for those of you that are just audio only listening, you may not notice a difference, obviously, because you can't see it. But if you are looking at a video, we expect that your experience of watching this Mind His Business show will be upgraded for you, and you will appreciate the new style that we're going for, because we're trying to keep up with the times. We're not trying to be behind the times. We're trying to be with the times and ahead of the times.
Right.
And that technology is allowing us to be with the times and ahead of the times. So we got some new equipment. We got a new setup that we're going to be working on. And we hope that you will love it. If you want to see us visually, there's a couple of ways you can do that. One, you can go to our website, mindhisbusiness.com.
Mm-hmm.
We upload the episodes every single week. You can also find the episodes on YouTube when they don't take them down Mind His Business, all one word. You got to put it all one word, Mind His Business. They already kind of have a shadow ban because they didn't like some of the things we were talking about for Christ. So you have to type it in the search engine exactly right or you won't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are working on that. We're going to upload our content to other platforms also, so that if YouTube decides that we're talking too much Jesus and we hitting too many points that they don't like, then we'll have the content on other platforms also. We don't like the idea of building on rented land, amen? We don't like the idea that as much as YouTube has so many people on there, same thing with Facebook and X and all the other platforms, at the end of the day, if they change their terms of service or they decide for whatever reason they don't like what it is someone is talking about, they can just shut them out and shut them off. And we as believers, we know that that's coming. We talked about that last week about how they will hate you for his name's sake. Well, part of that is going to be doing their best to phase out real, true believers. And I'm not talking about the fake ones that honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from God. I'm talking about people that are truly walking for Christ and standing for the truth, the biblical Jesus, and not the one that the secular world believes in, but the actual biblical Jesus and the way of the gospel, which truly one must die to oneself and live for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a message that a lot of people don't like to hear in the current world, where anything goes and you can be anything you want and you can do anything you want, and
we're all
supposed to just tolerate it. The gospel can be a hard message for a person that does not want to submit to the authority of the sovereign God and the Messiah. So we know that We have to play defense as well as we play offense. And that's part of the reason why Love Love and myself got the radio station in the first place, especially as being Black believers in America. We understand that there's a whole bunch of history behind Black media and how they have tried to navigate the narrative as far as how our culture is represented. And it's not always positive, and it's not always favorable to us in mainstream media that sometimes is not controlled by us. And so if you listen to works of some of the great thinkers of our generation and before, they will tell you that the ability to control the medium and the message is vitally important to your culture's progress. Mm-hmm. And we know this. And so because of that, and because of our love for Christ, it was important for us to say this radio station is not just for music. Music is great, but it is to control the medium and the message. So we have the ability to create the biblical narrative the way that God would want it to be put out there, and not just rely on other people's religions or non-religions or hatred of Christianity to define what it means to us to be believers in Christ. You don't let somebody else dictate to you what your message is. You're supposed to know what your message is and know how you're delivering that narrative.
Right.
And so that was part of the reason we chose the radio station in the first place, because if they kick us off of every social platform, guess what? We can still talk and we can still play music and it'll still go out over the airwaves. And if something should happen badly in society where internet and cell phones go down,
there's a bigger problem.
Guess who can still keep going? Well, the radio station can still keep going, because we don't need internet to broadcast. We don't need cell towers to broadcast. All we need is electricity, and we can get that through our solar panels. So there is an end game and agenda of what Satan is working on, but there's also an end game and an agenda for what God's people are aligning ourselves with as these end times are. And that alignment is under our head, which is Christ. The Bible says that Christ is the head and we are the body, and the body takes instructions from the head, and the head alone cannot activate anything without having a body. And so we work together with Christ. The scripture says that we are co-laborers with Christ, and maybe I'll pull that up, because it's just we sit back in the seats every week on Sunday and somebody says something nice and we get inspired and encouraged a little bit, and then we go home, and then we don't have to, you know, we kind of put our Christianity up on the shelf sometimes until next Sunday. No, the scripture says that we are co-laborers with Christ, that we are actively participating in showing his thoughts and his desires in this world right now. Hold on, let me pull that verse up. Sorry, y'all, I'm typing. This keyboard is so loud. I think I need to get me one of them nice new ones. All right, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read that for you here real quick. Let me jump on over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's exciting to consider that we are not... we're not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. Amen. We're not just sitting around waiting for the rapture. We're not just sitting around waiting for heaven.
We're occupying.
We're not just sitting around waiting for Jesus to return, and then we're not doing nothing until he gets here. So let me put this up on the screen for those of you that are watching by video. And we'll just talk about this a little bit. So first of all, this is Paul talking. Paul is the most important, I would say the most important apostle after the 12, because he was directly charged by Jesus to take the good news of Jesus Christ to non-Jews, to Gentiles and those who were not of the circumcision. Mm-hmm. And that includes most of us. Now, yes, some of us say that, yeah, we Hebrews. And that actually may be true from a lineage standpoint, but it's not your lineage that saves you.
That's
it's
right.
The grace of Jesus Christ through faith.
Hallelujah.
That saves whether you're a Jew or a Gentile.
Hallelujah.
So let's put that baby to bed that only the Hebrews and Jesus only came for the Hebrews. That is not true. There's plenty of verses I can show you that show that, yes, his message before his death and resurrection was to Jews because he was a Jew and he was ministering in a Jewish context. But once he died and rose again from the grave, he said to take this gospel to the whole world.
Yep, and don't forget the mixed multitude.
Right, so let's not do...
Hello.
So I don't want to go down that road, but let's start here. And we're going down to verse 9, so I just gloss over the first verses for context. Y'all know what I do all the time, is make sure that we have the scripture in its context so that we don't misinterpret what God is saying. But we're talking about how we are actively participating in the work that God is doing in the world. That's what we're talking about at the moment. So 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," which is, you know, of the natural or of the flesh, "even as unto babes in Christ." So Paul is saying, I couldn't really give you some of the more complex topics. I had to start with the basic things and kind of give you a natural application because you weren't ready for some of the more complex topics.
You can't give a baby meat.
And that's exactly what he says in verse 2. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto or until this time you weren't able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal." In other words, you're still fleshly minded. You're still naturally minded. Mm-hmm. You're just thinking about, you know, the here and now and what's going on and your flesh and what's going on social media. You haven't really progressed past that is what he's saying. "You are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions." That word strife basically is drama. So you got envy in between, you know, you envying what somebody else has. We would call that today. We would call that hating or coveting, mm-hmm, or saying you want what they got because you know how they get that and I didn't get that and I want that. And now you mad because they got something that you didn't get. And strife, which is like drama, like you stirring stuff up, keeping stuff stirred up. Right. And rather than promoting peace, you're keeping the conflict. That's drama.
Divisions,
which basically that's like cliques and clans and crews. How, well, you know, we don't hang with them folks because we don't like this, that, or the other thing. We only hang with these folks over here because, you know, we do it like this or whatever. That's those divisions that he's talking about. He says, if there's still among you these types of things, the drama and the division and the haterade and all that, he said, are you not carnal and walk as men? In other words, you haven't progressed yet if you're still dealing with that sort of stuff in your body, in your churches, in your groups of believers. If you're still dealing with that kind of stuff, you haven't yet progressed, is what he's saying. For one says, well, I'm of Paul. And another says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? So he's basically saying, well, you know, I follow Paul's doctrine. You know, another guy, well, I follow Apollos' doctrine. That would be like saying, well, I'm a Baptist. And then somebody else, well, I'm Kojic. And somebody else say, well, I'm A&E. So it's more about what team you on, rather than all of us being on the same team in Christ. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying, as long as you still worried about all, you know, what denominational crew you with, you know, what colors and what flag and you know, all that stuff. When you're still dealing with that sort of stuff, you're still dealing on the lower level, the fleshly level, is what he's saying. For who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, mm-hmm, even as the Lord gave to every man. He's saying, aren't the AMEs and the Baptists and the Kojics and the Lutherans, mm-hmm, aren't they all just ministers who started their organizations because Jesus gave them a specific calling to do so, but we're all under the same calling of Christ? He says in verse 6, I have planted, meaning Paul, and Apollos watered that seed,
but God gave the increase.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you do one part or the other part. All of our parts work together for God to create that increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything above anyone else, and neither he that watereth above anyone else, but it's God that gives the increase. So that's the main point that we want to remember. He says in verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one. In other words, they're both important. They're both a part of this whole. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Mm-hmm. For we are laborers together with God. Wait a minute, let me repeat that.
Come on.
For we are laborers together with God.
Right.
That means God wants us to participate in the work that he has to do here on this earth. It's not just only him doing the work. He wants to partner up with us to do that work. That's why it says in verse 8, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So if you have 100 believers and only 20 of them are really doing the work and the other 80 aren't doing any work, when it comes time for God to pass out the rewards, his rewards are going to be according to the labor that was done. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean if you're not working in the children's ministry or the usher board or that means you're not laboring. This doesn't have anything to do with what you do in church in terms of a position in the church. That's lower level thinking, because it's if God calls you to do something in the church, then that is the labor that he's called you to do. Mm-hmm. But being in church and doing a position in church is not the only way that a person labors with Christ.
Right.
How do we know that? Because it just told us that there is something that is happening here, something that's called planting and something that's called watering and something that's called God brings the increase. Well, planting what? Watering what?
Come on.
The only way we would know what he's talking about is for other passages of scripture to bring that out to light. And the first one that comes to my mind,
it's also important too that they have a private or relationship with King Jesus, with Christ, so that they know, because a lot of people don't know where they fit in to anything. They really don't know, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent
Some people
topic.
Be like, well, you know, I ain't an usher. I ain't nobody. You know, I just run the soundboard, or all I do is just sit in the pew. No, you have a job. And if you don't know what it is, you need to seek King Jesus. You need to seek him. And when you seek him, you'll find him, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. And you search for him, and you be patient. When you pray, you also listen. And his voice a lot of times is a still, small voice. Some people would make it equivalent to an intuition. Things of that nature.
Intuition is part of it. But there's a difference between just flat intuition, which is all of your experience subconsciously making connections before you are consciously aware of it. That's what intuition is. But when the Holy Spirit enables that intuition, it's something different, because your intuition might tell you one thing, but the Holy Spirit will say, yes, that's true, but I want you to do this thing anyway.
He'll make it clear.
And you will know the difference as you are walking it with the Spirit of God.
You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
So to round this out and then talk about, well, what exactly are we planting and watering? It says, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That word husbandry there doesn't mean husband and wife. It means caretaker or gardener, which actually is the root word for why we use the word husband and wife. The word husband, you can find it all the way back to Genesis. To husband a garden or livestock, if you're a farmer or a rancher, means that you are taking care of what you have been assigned to take care of, whether it's the animals or whether it's the plants. A husbandman or a husbandwoman, you can be a husbandwoman. A female gardener is a husbandwoman. A male gardener is a husbandman. Mm-hmm. And the act of doing gardening or ranching or livestock is called husbandry. Mm-hmm. Okay. The word husband literally comes from that word husbandry, meaning that it's the husband's job to ensure that his Garden of Eden, aka his wife, is taken care of. She is tended to, that she is, he is there to help her to grow, to maximize, all of the giftings that are placed within her, just like a farmer would make sure his or her plants have everything that they need to grow. They have light, they have water, they have minerals in the soil, they have enough oxygen. They have pruning if they need things pruned away. They have trellises if they need to reach higher. That's what a good gardener would do. A husband is supposed to be doing that for his wife. So if your wife is broke down, beat up, and dismayed and unhappy,
you
got some work to do to tend to your garden, because you are the husband. Not that you own your wife, but it is your position as the husbandman to ensure that she, as your garden, as your wife, has everything she needs to grow and thrive. Mm-hmm. So this is a mystery that is all the way back from Genesis on up. But it says here, for we, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we are laborers together with God. You, meaning you and me, believers, are God's husbandry. In other words, we're his hands and his heart to do the work of the ministry here. He's in heaven orchestrating and leading and guiding this effort. And the Holy Spirit is here on earth right now indwelling believers. Jesus said when he goes up to be resurrected and he goes up to be with the Father, that he will send another comforter called the Holy Spirit. That's in the book of John. So the Holy Spirit is here right now like our foreman or our manager. He is enabling us and leading and guiding us and giving us instructions on how we are to tend to our garden. What is our garden? Our garden is every single person we come in contact with, whether it's your children, your parents, your coworkers, people you meet randomly, strangers that you bump into, old schoolmates you haven't seen for years, you bump into them randomly. Mm-hmm. Anybody that is in your life, anybody that you have influence around, anyone that can be impacted by your life, that is your garden that you are to be stewarding. You are a team. You are teamed up with God, and he is the ultimate boss, and the Holy Spirit is the manager, and you are the hands of God. You are the body of Christ, literally here on earth, setting forth his will, co-laboring with him to be an influence and an impact for Christ on anybody that you come in contact with. This is why it's not just about a position in the church, because you spend more time interacting with your family, your friends, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your coworkers, the people that you interact with, the people you interact with on social media, the people you influence on social media, if you have followers, for example. All of those people are those people who are you are there to plant into their lives, to water into their lives, to be an example for Christ and to be a light for Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to move through you to impact them for Christ. That is good stewardship. That is good husbandry. That is good caretaking. That is how we co-labor with Christ. He says, you are God's building. You're the one who does the work to build up God's kingdom right here on earth until he comes. According to the grace of God, which is given to me in verse 10, that's Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid upon the foundation, and another person builds on that foundation. But let every man take heed how he builds on the foundation of Christ. For any other foundation can no man lay other than what is laid, and that is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So if you're building something, but you are not building on Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. It says right here, you're going to have to take heed how you're building on the foundation that Jesus himself, the apostle Paul, and every believer that has come before you has all laying on this foundation of kingdom work that God is doing through the minds, hearts, bodies, and spirits of believers. And if you come along, you trying to put something else on that foundation that is not Jesus, it will fail. It's not going to work. And God will judge you for not following the blueprint. When you're trying to construct a big building, you must follow the blueprint. There are things that have to be done in order. And there are some things you just can't put in there. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're going to build a 10-story building with orange peels. That don't make no sense, does it? You think you're gonna build a 10-story building, but you're gonna use cotton candy as the foundation. Is that gonna work? That's not gonna work. That building will not stand. In the same way, we have to build on the foundation, which is Christ, his word, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you're trying to build on it with anything else, whether that's trying to get more people to your church so you can get more tithes, or whether it's, well, I want a better looking house and car, so I'm going to try to get more people to give more money in the church. Whether that's, well, you know, I'm just going to lie and live one way, but preach another way. And ain't nobody really going to know the difference. As long as they walk away feeling like, you know, I squalled real good this week, they're not going to worry about that. Them things, you can't build on those foundations. Mm-hmm. And God is going to expose all of that at one point or another. If not now, at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why it says, take heed how you building. Because, go ahead.
And a lot of times, you think you're not important just because you're not seen. My heart is not seen. I'm not wearing my heart on the outside of my body.
Come on with it.
But I'll tell you what, if that heart stops beating, you better know something.
Come on with it. Come
you better know it. Something. Believe it or not, you are the heart. Believe it or not, you're the heart. In somebody's life, you're the heart. You're important. We're telling you right now, you are important. Don't think that you're not important because you are important. I just sense that they need to know that.
And it doesn't
just because you're not seen, just because you're not heard, does not mean that you're not important. You are.
God sees everything.
Yes, he does.
That is done with a sincere heart for him.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you're a grandmother, grandfather, you're living alone, your children have moved out, mm-hmm. your grandchildren are doing their thing. Even something as simple as calling up your grandbaby. Hey, grandbaby, I love you. Want you to know that I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. I support you. Whatever you're going through, you can talk to me. And even if you don't talk to me, God hears and sees and knows. Mm-hmm. And know that you are supported and know that you are loved. Even something as simple as that. That is co-laboring with God. That's tending to your garden.
Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have no money to give them.
It's not about money.
It's not about it. It's not about money.
That example that I just showed you, that is a way to plant and mm-hmm. water and allow God to bring the increase.
That could be the difference between them being alive and being off the face of the earth, all because you thought of them.
Absolutely.
They could have about to do something that they should not be doing. They could be about to take something or somebody about to offer. You just don't know. And you calling them, that could be what actually, boom.
Makes a difference. I could say so many simple examples of that. Maybe you're baby daddy, which I won't even use that term. You are the father of that child.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're not just baby daddy.
Not baby daddy. You are the father.
You have been placed in life to husband your children. Does that mm-hmm. make sense what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not that you're married to your children, but you are there to lead and guide them into righteousness.
And not take advantage of that power.
Even if you're not together with the mother of the child.
Right.
You as the father, did you know that how a young child sees their father spills over and carries over into their whole perspective on the nature of God the Father? Did mm-hmm. you know that? Mm-hmm. If you're an absent father, there's a good chance that that child will grow up as an adult thinking that God is an absent father, that he's not interested in their life because you weren't interested in their mm-hmm. life. If you show love and boundaries and encouragement to your children, then when they grow up, they will have a greater chance of seeing God the Father as being involved, present, encouraging, supportive mm-hmm. boundaries. They will understand how to respect those boundaries that God has put forward in the Word. Why? Because they saw it from their father, and now they understand it from their spiritual heavenly father. Mm-hmm. So here's a way that you can co-labor with God in your children's life. Call your child, whether they're in your house or not, whether your child support is current or not, whether none of that stuff matters. When is the last time you called your child, son or daughter, and said, son, daughter, I just want you to know I'm proud of you and I love you. Like the words, say the words. Because I know sometimes for men it's hard to say the words. Because we want to, you know, maybe our dad didn't say those words very often. And see, you see what I'm getting at. If our fathers were emotionally absent or distant, sometimes we have to be active to say, I'm going to actively make sure that my children know that I love them, mm-hmm. I'm proud of them, mm-hmm. I support them, I'm encouraging them. That is co-laboring with Christ.
Yep.
That is how you co-labor with Christ. You see, that didn't involve no money.
Mm-mm.
That didn't involve some big grand gesture. You didn't have to do anything other than the most important thing, was to make sure that your children know that you love them, you got their back.
Right.
And if you say you're going to show for your kids, and if you say you're going to call your kids,
don't be lying.
If you say you're going to pick them up, you say you're going to do something, I don't care if it's hell, high water, or what, you make sure you do it. Because there's nothing that can break a child's spirit more than being disappointed
for
by
you,
inconsistency.
Because you're lying. Don't lie.
There's nothing.
Something happens, something comes up, then you handle it.
If you're not able
to make
it.
Just like you do with your job. Oh, my goodness, I done broke down on with my car. Let me call. Hey, I'm now here. This is what's going on. Come on now.
Because sometimes we think that, well, you know, I'll get to them when I'm able to. And for that child, they don't know.
Because they look out the window looking.
They don't know that you got all this other stuff going on. They mm-hmm. just want their dad.
Some of them,
or their mom.
Some of them is playing with their toys. The other ones, they right there at the window. He driving up. He going to drive up.
So
don't disappoint him.
That's another way. And notice, you don't have to have a position in the church to tell your son that you love him and you're proud of him.
Come on.
To tell your daughter you love her, you're proud of her.
Come on.
You don't have to have a position in the church. You don't have to have a position in the church to say, son, daughter, you know what? I made some mistakes, and I'm not a perfect dad, and I'm sorry that I didn't handle it exactly the way I should have.
Come on,
but I'm going to do my best to live the way God would want me to live and to show you that I'm making an effort.
Hallelujah.
That in and of itself sometimes is all your son, daughter needs, is just to know that you are making your best effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. Here's another way we can be co-laborers with God, with Christ. When you see someone randomly and there's something put on your heart about them, man, you know, I just really like their outfit, or they have such a nice smile, or whatever. It could be anything, small, nothing. You see them, it's random. You don't know them. You're not trying to pick them up for a date. You're not trying to do none of that. But you just notice. That's when you should say something. I know you don't know me and I don't know you, but I just want to stop you real quick and say, girl, that outfit is slamming. You look great. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know in its own way mm-hmm. that encouragement can be its own co-labor with Christ? If the Holy Spirit has put it on your heart,
mm-hmm.
maybe they were having a bad day and that compliment right there helped to turn their whole day around.
Right.
That is a way that we can co-labor with Christ.
Maybe somebody downed them, but you like, nope, I'm picking you up.
and that's not even talking about some of the more spiritual things, like are we telling people about Jesus? Are we ministering to them? Are we praying for them, both with them present and when they're not present? Are we actually sending up prayers for people? Because you know somebody dies, somebody gets hurt, you know, we say, oh, prayer's going up, you know, we put the little prayer icon on Facebook, which actually I found out the little praying hands icon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that that's not even a praying hands icon? That's a high five icon.
Which one you were talking about?
The one that's got the two hands that's praying. Did you know that actually they meant that to be a high five
what?
Icon, but everybody uses as praying hands? The point is that people say, oh, you know, pray for me, I'm going through this or that, or somebody dies or whatever. And we put the little praying hands on there. And that's great. But did you actually pray? Did you actually take a few moments to seek God on their behalf? Them, their families, their loved ones, everyone involved. Did you actually pray? Or did you just say, oh, prayer's up, and then you just moved on and didn't think about it? As believers, the scripture says, I believe it's in the book of James, maybe I'll pull it up. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Do you know how powerful that is to consult the God of the universe on behalf of someone in the name of Jesus and through his authority? God can move mountains. He can move mightily. And your prayer might be the one that actually got through. I mean, obviously, all of our prayers get through if we're in Christ and we're praying sincerely in his name and we're walking in forgiveness and all those things. But you get the point that I'm getting at, is that maybe nobody prayed for them. Maybe you're the only one. Maybe they had 17 comments under that post that said, oh, I need some prayers. And everybody was putting praying hands, but you were the only one that actually took 5 minutes out of your busy day to actually pray for them. That is how we co-labor with Christ. That's how we co-labor with God. That's how we participate in what God wants us to participate in, which is teaming up with Him to be His hands and body and heart on this earth until He returns.
Hallelujah.
That is an amazing and super high calling that is not to be taken lightly. That's, if you were working for a celebrity, let's say you were, I don't know, let me try to make a comparison. Maybe it'll make a connection. Mm-hmm. Let's say that somehow Michelle Obama needed a new personal assistant. And somehow Michelle Obama chose you to be her personal assistant. In other words, anytime she needs something, you are the one that goes out and gets it. If she needs somebody to be told a message, you're the one that delivers that message. Mm-hmm. If she needs for her schedule to be worked out, you are the one that gets into the book. You get where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
You get into the book and see what the book has to say so that you can make the plan accordingly. You get where I'm getting at?
Come on.
How much would you feel privileged? And now, if you don't like Michelle Obama, just pick the person that you like the most, okay? Don't get hung up on the analogy. I'm assuming most people like Michelle Obama, but if you don't, just in your mind, imagine the person that you would really highly regard and really highly respect. If Michelle Obama said, okay, you're going to be my personal assistant, that means that you're my mouthpiece. Whatever I want to have said, you're going to be the one to deliver the message. Anything that I need done, you're going to go out and you're going to happily do it because you're working for Michelle Obama. Oh my gosh, you're working for Michelle Obama. She asked you to go get coffee. You're going to say, how many cream and sugar do you want in it? It's not even going to be a question for you, right? If she says, I need you to tend to my schedule, what are you going to do? You're going to get in the book and you're going to understand the book and you're going to make sure that you are following instructions according to what is laid out in the book. So if we can do that for Michelle Obama, or maybe flip it around, maybe you're a guy and Kendrick Lamar or LeBron James, you just think they're just the coolest thing ever. And all of a sudden you get to be LeBron James's personal assistant. You get to be Kendrick Lamar's personal assistant. Anything they say, if they got a press release, you're the one that's standing in front of the mic delivering the message. Well, you know, Kendrick Lamar, you know, he says, you know, this thing and that thing. LeBron says this thing and that thing. And you're the one that gets to deliver that message. If LeBron says, man, I need some extra towels and some water so I can, you know, I got to get past these 50,000 points I just made. You're going to run and get a towel and get some water, aren't you? You're going to run it. You ain't going to question it. You're going to come back with it. And you're probably going to have an extra water in your pocket just in case he needs some more. Am I telling it? Yes, I am. If LeBron James, his game schedule is however it is, and he says, I need you to make sure that my schedule is right, what are you going to do? You're going to get in the schedule book. You're going to understand that schedule down to the minute because you know that he's got to be on the plane at this time. He got to get off the plane here. He has to make sure his locker room is right. You're going to make sure all those details, you know everything that's laid out in the book so that you can execute your job properly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we can feel that way about a celebrity, LeBron or Kendrick or Michelle Obama or pick your favorite person, how much more should we feel that same passion and connection and loyalty and allegiance and enthusiasm for our Creator, the God of the whole entire universe, who took His time to know us personally,
Hallelujah.
To call us to Himself as His own, to redeem us by His own blood, and to enable us with both His book and His Spirit to be able to be a co-laborer with Him? How much more seriously and joyously should we take that job on? Because it's God. It's not just some celebrity who anytime the elites feel like it, they can destroy their reputation just like that. Let LeBron James get out of order and watch how fast his good reputation goes down the tubes. They did it to Bill Cosby. They did it to Diddy. They did it to R. Kelly for years.
Diddy deserved it.
My point being is that none of those celebrities are without fault. All of them got secrets. All of them have done things behind the scenes that if you really knew what they were really, really doing, you would not look up to them so fondly. But because they're staying in line with what the elites want for them, want them to do, they're following the line, they're following the agenda to the letter. That's why you don't hear about their bad stuff. But as soon as they get out of line, all they got to do is just drop that bad news. And now everybody thought that it was one thing and really it's something else. And they can get got too. That Kendrick Lamar, he got some griminess behind him. Michelle Obama too. So does LeBron. So do all of them. Right now, they're following the playbook though, which is why they're still on top. But they can get taken out just like Bill Cosby over some 50-year stuff with some lies that some women made up. Now he's saying that Bill Cosby's a good guy. But I'm saying that he followed the instructions for a very long time. But as soon as he got out of line and started doing things that they didn't want him doing, that's when they destroyed his reputation. Same thing with Michael Jackson. As soon as he came out and said, Tommy Mottola of Sony Records is the devil, it was only a matter of time before they tried to hem him up with a bunch of allegations that he was acquitted both times because it wasn't true.
They wanted that catalog.
they wanted the catalog from Sony back. Mm-hmm. There was all kind of reasons why they took him out. And so if we would give that much respect to celebrities who are human just like us and have done terrible, dreadful things in order to be in the position they're in, how much more should we give that sort of allegiance and keep that same energy, so to speak, for the God of the whole universe who created us, who saved us, and who gives us life more abundantly? So, I know I said a lot there. What can you add to that, love?
Anything I wanted to add was way back there.
Oh, Lord. I know I was really going there, wasn't I? I'm sorry about that.
Keep going.
Well, so that's really my encouragement for today, is just to remember that you and I, we are Christ's hands and feet and face and heart here on this earth. There are some people that will never open a Bible, but they will watch your life. And they will get so much information about the nature of God, the nature of Jesus, the nature of the Bible, what it means to be a Christ follower. They are looking to you for that information and that inspiration. And that doesn't mean that you're Christ and that you won't make any mistakes. That doesn't mean that at all. We're human. Of course we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall and fail. But did you know that God can be glorified even in our weakness, even in our failures, even in our mistakes? Because being saved doesn't mean you're perfect. Being saved means that you're redeemed and the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to mm-hmm. face and overcome temptation in your life mm-hmm. as you grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory, as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. People need to see that you're a real person. You fail, you make mistakes, but they're especially observing how you handle your failures just as much as how you handle your successes, if that makes sense. They want to see, do you repent quickly? Do you apologize? Do you make amends? Do you course
correct? You be careful
correct?
With that. Be careful with that, though. Because some people know what they're going to do before, and then they go out and do things and then try to paste stuff over it.
Right. I'm not saying that's an excuse to do bad.
No.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'll just go and do this and I'll ask God to forgive me.
Right. If we truly have been saved by the grace of God through faith and we understand how much of a gift it really is, it will motivate you to not want to intentionally go out and hurt God's heart.
That's right.
Or to intentionally sin, because it says,
man continue to sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid. No.
I love it. I'm going to pull that verse up right now. That is in Romans. I think it's in Romans. Let's see. I'm reading real fast here, God forbid.
Because some of y'all know what you're going to do before you do it.
Let's go for Romans chapter 6. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 2 is where I'm headed, but we'll start at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Hold on. Let's go back and see, what is he talking about? We need to make sure that we understand the context. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So he's talking about when Adam sinned, basically as a consequence, all of us were born into sin
nature
because Adam sinned and we all come from Adam. So it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, meaning Jesus, shall many be made righteous.
Hallelujah.
So even though Adam, because he sinned and we all come from Adam, now we're all born into sin, Jesus interrupted that pattern, and by his righteousness, his obedience, even unto the death of the cross, conquering death, sin, hell, the grave, and everything, many will be made righteous. So if we receive Christ, we are made righteous. So we're born into sin, but we're made righteous through Christ. You know how they say some people are, you know, some things are born and others are made. That's kind of what this is saying here. We're all born into sin, but we can be made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what he's saying here. Moreover, the law entered so that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, sin causes death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he's saying Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we could have eternal life and a righteous life on this earth, and eternal life when we leave this body of flesh. In chapter 6, then he says, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? In other words, well, if I keep sinning, will God's grace get bigger because I keep sinning? He says, God forbid. In modern English, that means absolutely not. Ain't no way.
Nope.
That's how we would say it in modern English. It's a God forbid. In modern English, ain't no way. Absolutely not. That's what it means. How shall
As
we
my
better...
son would say, stop capping.
Stop capping.
Stop lying.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, our man in Adam, who we are in Adam, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So if I am dead to the old man because now I am renewed in Christ, I'm born again in Christ, that old sinful nature is now, from God's perspective, it is dead. So we don't want to intentionally walk in sin, because that'd be like being a zombie. If your old man is dead, but you still intentionally sinning, I mean, and what I mean by that is, not that you made a mistake and the mistake had a bad consequence. All of us are going to do that. But I mean that kind of thing where you know you ain't supposed to be doing that. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you. You ain't supposed to be doing that.
Or you trying to re-up so you know what you're doing.
And you're not supposed to be doing that. And the Holy Spirit is telling you and convicting you, you ain't supposed to be doing that. But you do it anyway. That's the kind of sin that he's talking about here.
Yeah.
Why would you want to intentionally and continually practice a certain thing that the Holy Spirit is calling you out of? Don't be a zombie Christian. Don't be a zombie who's dead in the old man is dead, but you still feeding it sin like it's a zombie still walking around dead, even though you're supposed to be in the newness and resurrection and life of Christ. You're supposed to crucify the flesh with its lusts and passions. You're supposed to let the dead bury their dead. You get it? You're supposed to let that old man in those old ways go. Yes, easier said than done, but easier done than said if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. It sounds easier said than done, but it's easier done than said if you are following the Holy Spirit, you're following His word, and you're allowing Him to bring the newness of Christ that He has purchased with His blood into your life every day so that you can be a co-laborer with Christ, planting and watering and seeing God bring the increase.
That's why He gives you the Holy Spirit, which to enable you, to strengthen you, to be able to make the right decisions.
Because in our flesh, in our own works, we cannot overcome sin just in the Adam,
even
in the
unto,
body of
even
Adam.
Unto death. Even unto death.
We cannot overcome sin in Adam. We can only overcome sin through the Holy Spirit in Christ.
Right.
That's the whole point of Christ coming. And that's also the whole point of why He gave us things like the Ten Commandments, to be able to reflect back to us that apart from Christ, we can't keep the Ten Commandments all the time, in every way.
That's the law.
That's why it says here in Romans 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together, remember in the other passage, we were talking about one plants, one waters, God brings the increase. It's saying here, see, Scripture is confirming Scripture. We have been planted together in the likeness of His death. That doesn't mean that we have to all go and commit suicide. It means that we have been planted together in the likeness of crucifying our flesh, that sinful nature of Adam, so that we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, so that we can walk in the righteousness that God has provided and bought for us. He paid the price so that we could walk in the righteousness of God through the Holy Spirit and by following His word. So let's be planted together. Let's let the water of the word wash over us.
Yes.
Let's be co-laborers with God through Christ and be an impact in a ministry to anyone in your life that you have in contact with or have influence with. That is your garden. You are to be the husbandman, the husbandwoman of your garden, to be a light and a reflection of the wonderful God that we serve. We are His personal assistants. We are His mouth, His hands, and His heart until He returns. We are His reflection on earth until He comes. We are the ones that have faith before we see. And that faith before we see brings a great reward for us personally in the kingdom of God. And it is, in some ways, the only Bible that the unbelieving world will ever read is you. So that's all I got for this week, love.
All right.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and put a period on that sentence right there. And the only other thing would be just to say, love Jesus, love your neighbor this week. Follow the Holy Spirit, follow the word, read your word. And God is going to do great things in your life this week.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
So if you got nothing else, we'll go on and get on out of here.
All right.
Lady J.
And I'm Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.